out of the garage comes the thundering sound of a power mower. The Lawn Ranger mows again. Okay. How about that? Hey, Bob, how are you?
Great intro. I love it. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. You are the lawn ranger. I love it.
That's what they call me at the office.
Well, I think that's great because it is. It's just good.
It looks like tonight we're going to get the lawn is going to take some Mother Nature fertilizer from it with the rain and the lightning.
I understand that you're really into the weather.
I am. I am. I'm a weather geek. But and the funny thing is, with tonight though, unfortunately, we're calling for heavy downpours and rain, which is great. We're still way below normal on the season, 7 inches. But unfortunately, when it comes down as heavy and as fast as it does, it mostly rolls off. But the benefit of the storms like tonight is the lightning. It helps green up the grass because, believe it or not, lightning creates nitrogen oxide, and that's the number one component of fertilizer. So the rain brings it down and deposits it in your lawn, and you'll notice that grass is tend to green up a lot more right after a light thunderstorms more than just a regular rainstorm.
Wow, that sounds like something that Tom Skilling would say. Holy, really? Well, you know, the lightning, it comes down. Okay, so let's go over that again, because I make sure that I get this. The lightning has what in it? What is in the lightning?
The lightning bolt creates nitrogen oxide, and then as the rain comes down, it brings down the nitrogen into the turf, and then the turf absorbs the nitrogen, which when you're talking about fertilizing your lawn, the number one component of fertilizer is nitrogen.
Wow, I find that extremely interesting. I've never heard that. Well, it just goes to show you how thorough you are, Bob, as the Lawn Ranger. And I also understand that you send weather forecasts to your clients. Is that true?
I do that primarily in the wintertime when we're in the middle of a snowstorm. I'll send them updates on what's coming, what we're anticipating, what our plan is. In the summertime, though, I still send out the monthly updates for what happened that month, like what's the normal rainfall, what we actually had, and the extreme temperatures, the wind gusts, just little bits and pieces just to stay on the radar.
Well, you know, you can't get enough weather around here. Boy, that's for sure.
No.
312-981-7200 if you have any question at all about your lawn and anything connected to the lawn. This is the time to call in and get some expert advice from Bob, who is the Lawn Ranger. I said before the bottom of the hour that it wasn't that long ago, I think just a couple of weeks, I was looking at my lawn, and it felt like it was like straw. I mean, it wasn't growing because it was so hot. If you ran your hand over it, it was very coarse. And then, kaboom, we have this deluge, and now it looks relatively green. I mean, there's no way to factor that into your lawn care, is there? I mean, you can't predict the weather.
Well, that's why it's more important when you do water, if Mother Nature can't provide it. The best rains we can have is when it's a long, steady, slow rain all day, because then the turf can absorb it, and it's not like these big downpours that we have right now. So one of the things I wanted to talk about was how you should water. And you should water deeply, but do it infrequently. Like, you want to water at least an inch to an inch and a half a week. And if you don't know how to measure that, one thing that we tell people to do is just put out a pie tin in your yard in the area where you're going to water, because it's pretty much an inch deep. And then when that fills up, you've met your quota for the week. But it's hard because we have clients that water every day for 10 minutes a zone, and it's not good for the roots. You don't want the roots to stay up at the surface. You want them to go down deep for the water.
So how often during the week should you water your lawn?
It depends on the weather. Most people they don't want to set their clock and go away, which is fine for vacation, but I have an irrigation system in my house, and I turn it on. Then when I come home from work and I say, well, it looks like it needs some water, I'll turn it on. It comes on the following morning. That's another thing I wanted to mention, too. When you're watering, a lot of people turn the sprinkler on and go to bed and turn it off in the morning. That's one of the worst things you can do for your lawn, because fungus love the wet moisture at night, and you're just going to invite diseases and pests into your lawn. So the best time to do it is just before sunup.
No kidding. You know, I thought so. Yeah. I don't know where I heard that before, that the best time to water a lawn was in the morning, but I didn't take it all the way to before sunup.
And if you can't do it just before sunup, you're better off doing it during the day than you are at night. But you will lose, it will be more expensive to water during the day because you lose a lot to evaporation.
Do you recommend any particular kind of procedure for watering? I mean, I've seen sprinklers that go around in a circle. They've got two nozzles on them. They're dispensing the water out of each nozzle. I've seen others that are of a different method. Is there one that's better than the other?
It's not really. The ones that shoot the streams out further, they have to go out further so you can cover a bigger area.
Yeah.
The mist heads cover a smaller area, but they actually provide a much more uniform coverage of the water.
Oh,
so it depends on your property size and,
you know,
you mix and match heads and things. And
right. Yeah, I know what you mean. Bob is on the line to take any questions you may have concerning lawn care for today and lawn care for what's coming up, and that would be fall. And we'll take some calls, hopefully, and return with Bob in just a moment on 720 WGN. WGN, John Landecker, thanks for tuning in. We are taking care of the lawn and everything connected with it. We've got Bob Bertog, the Lawn Ranger, an expert. Listen to this now. Past president, Illinois Landscape Contractors Association, and holds certification from the National Association of Landscape Professionals, and is a certified landscape professional. Less than 1% of landscape contractors have achieved this. Very good. Congratulations,
Thank
Bob.
You.
Let's go to Bill. Bill, hello. You got a question?
Yes. My lawn, I try to take care of it the best I can. There's no shade. It gets direct sun all day. Late March, early April, I did a grub application. I followed the directions, and it seemed to kind of keep it at bay. And now we're late summer, early fall, and my yard's getting some pretty significant just, like, dead spots, probably the size of, like, a garbage can lid, and they're just kind of, like, they're kind of connecting. I took a shovel, went in there to see if I could find any, and I did not find any grubs, so I don't know what I have.
It could be a disease, but do you water your lawn religiously, or?
I kind of let nature do its thing, and I don't, like, yeah, I've learned not to water it, you know, sporadically to let the roots come to the surface. So it's more I let nature do it. And we started having those rains about five, six weeks ago, greened up really well. And then since then, it's just I'm starting to get these patches, pretty good-sized circles and interconnected patches.
What you want to do is you want to look around at the perimeter of the grass blades and look for lesions. If you see lesions, and you don't see lesions, it's probably chinch bugs, because chinch bugs will attack an area and it just keeps expanding and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It looks very similar to drought stress. So if you haven't been watering and you've been letting Mother Nature do it, I would probably err on the side of saying it could be chinch bugs. And the way to check for those is, again, you check the perimeter. They're very small. They're only about an eighth of an inch, but they are visible to the eye. And you'll see them crawling around in there and chewing up the grass blades.
At the base of the grass or in the soil?
At the base of the grass blade, and they cut it right off the crown of the plant.
Oh, wow. Okay, and then one other quick thing. I would like to... When the sod was laid on top of what they thought was good soil, a lot of it blew away. So basically it was on top of clay. I would like to add some topsoil. How would I go about doing that, and what time of year do I do that?
The best thing to do if you want to renovate your soil and you still want to keep the grass at the same time is core aerate in the fall and then top dress it with a nice top dressing mix, and it'll fill into the holes. And it's not going to be overnight. It's going to be over two or three seasons in order for you to get those – in order to get those micronutrients things back into the ground. You can always do a remove and replace, but that's very expensive. If you cut out six inches and come back in with fresh topsoil.
Yeah, I'm about 90 by 180 is my lot, and I just I would like to just add to it and see what it looks like in a few years. Thank you. Thanks
for, I would do the core aeration.
Thanks for calling, Bill. Good question. 312-981-7200. We've got Jeff. Hello, Jeff. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Jeff?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
So I've got like two different spots in my front yard, and it seems like there's like very large ant colony in the front yard, and you know, I don't know, do you just dig them out, do you kill them and try to replant, because I'm not sure if they're actually good for the grass in the long run and the trees that are near it. It's kind of one of the big ones, like right next to a big pine tree. So they're tiny ants, they aren't really carpenter ants, but not sure what to do about that.
They're not going to hurt the grass as much as they're going to hurt the trees, so I would definitely have them exterminated, because if they get into the trunks of the trees and stuff, they'll burrow in there, and then they'll get into the vascular tissue of the tree. Where in the grass, they're just going to tunnel and burrow. And if they're fire ants, those bite. And if you don't have your shoes on and you walk through that hill, you're going to feel it.
Mm. Okay. All right. I appreciate it. Because, I mean, it's not where they are. The grass is, like, pretty bare. It's almost gone where they are, actually. So just exterminate them is the plan, huh?
That's what I would do, yes.
Thanks for calling, Jeff. 312-981-7200. Let's go to Linda. Good evening, Linda.
Hi. We're having a big storm, so if I lose you, I apologize.
Where are you?
In Palatine.
Okay.
Anyway, some idiot drove off the road and left big divots, tire divots, in my front yard. And I guess I want to know how to fix those.
Well, with the weight of the car, he probably created a lot of compaction. So the best thing to do is going to be to excavate the area, till it up, add some fresh topsoil, and either resod or reseed it. Because if it's so compacted like that, and you just try and add topsoil on top, it's just going to compound the problem. You kind of got to fix it. And the right way to do it is to dig it out and replace the soil.
Can I still seed it this late in the year?
It's actually still a little too early to be seeding. I wouldn't do any seeding until after Labor Day. That's the best time of the year to see it, actually, is in the fall. Yes,
but
exactly.
I can level it?
You can level it now. That's fine. But if you seed now in this heat, the seed will never germinate. It's too hot out.
Okay, he did hit my four-year-old sugar maple and took off about two layers of bark on that. Is my tree going to survive?
If it just hit it in one section of the tree will probably compartmentalize the injury. And it'll be fine. As long as it didn't girdle it around the whole, around the one full circle around the tree, it should be fine. It should compartmentalize. But I would keep an eye on it to watch for insects finding their way into that. If you see things starting to fly in there, or ants crawling in there, they're finding an easy way into the tree. So I would just keep an eye on it.
Can I put something on it?
I would not. That's usually the old school with to put tar on it. That's not the school anymore, because then you're locking in any diseases or insects that are already in there.
Can I put some kind of fabric on it or something to keep them out?
Again, they're probably animal, or the bugs will seek shelter, and they might find it behind there. I think you're better off just leaving it in the open.
Thank you, Mother Nature.
Okay, I hope he hurt his car big time.
There you go.
Thanks for calling, Linda. Revenge. What
exactly.
A motivation. It's a revenge is best served with a lawn or something, I'm trying to say. I don't know. Let's go to Steve. Hey, Steve, you're on the air. Hello.
I might lose you, but so my question was, what's like the best seed to use out in our areas? You know, I'm out by the cow. I got a lot. I think I got a lot of clay, but I mean, dirt. I mean, what's the best seed to use? You know, we get extreme hot and extreme.
I would just look for But there's different blends for sunny or shady, but if you just wanted a general purpose seed, you just want to get a mix of blue grasses and rye grasses and fescues. And if you go with that, they're all going to blend together pretty well, and you know, do a third and a third in the mix, and you should get a decent stand of turf with that.
I mean, that's pretty easy to find, right? Especially on this.
Yeah, it's real easy to find. In fact, it's harder to find a straight blend. Like to find a straight Kentucky bluegrass blend, you'd have to go through someone like one of my suppliers. You won't find that at any garden center.
Okay.
So I would go with just a nice mix.
Thanks for calling, Steve. You know, Linda's call about tire marks. I don't live on this property anymore, but I did have 10 acres, and I would say four or five of them were required maintenance. Let's put it that way. And they got wet. And I forget exactly what it was, whether it was a tractor or a large lawn tractor or an automobile, a four-wheel drive, a vehicle got stuck, and I got a tow truck to pull it out, and it left, obviously, these not only just marks. They were like, it looked like they were 2 or 3 inches deep at least. And it wasn't near the house, so I didn't do anything. In the course of time, I swear the lawn actually fixed itself. What is that?
Well, it sounds like you're having country thunder at your property, but that's I don't think that's the case. But what'll happen over time? You have to remember that the soil is a living organism as well. Uh-huh. There's micronutrients in there. There's living organisms. So over time, it may appear that it has re-leveled itself, but it probably didn't. But the growth of the plants, you don't notice it as much. I'm sure if you went out there, you would probably still notice the ruts. But over time, the plants will catch up in the height to the ones that are in the ruts.
But the soil itself won't regenerate.
It moves around. With the freeze thaws that we have in Chicago, lawns get bumpy and smooth every winter through the freeze thaw process. So the soil underneath moves and moves things around. That's why it's so important. I stress the core aeration because that helps break that up and it helps level out the soil if you're turfed.
Well, Bob, obviously, from what we've heard from you in the past and tonight, you really know your business. If people want to get a hold of you and use your expertise, what should they do?
They can either call our office at 847-279-0028 or visit our website, BertogLandscape.com.
All right, Bob. Thank you so much for being with us. Learned a lot.
Thanks, John.
You betcha.
Appreciate it.